Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon, Elder Carl. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you doing?
Very well. Thank you. And thank you for joining us this afternoon. Thank you for making time. We really do appreciate it. We do not take this lightly at all. I hope that you've been having a good day.
No, I have been having a good day, my brother. It's always a pleasure to be able to be on the show and to engage and to learn from the Word of God.
Fantastic. Always a pleasure indeed to speak to you. I hope that you're settling well into the new year. I think we're speaking to you for the first time this year in this show, eh?
Yes, yes. No, God has been good to me this year, my brother. Any day with Jesus is a good day.
Ah, lovely. Great. Love to hear that. Now, one over the last few, Voice of Prophecy lessons, we've talked about the dream that King Nebuchadnezzar had and what it all meant. We've talked about how much of what Daniel prophesied had already come to pass and what part of the prophecy we're currently living in. Now, what does the dream have to do with us, today? And this is what we will have covered, at the end of this conversation. So the prophecies found in Daniel can sometimes be frightening. So how should believers respond to a world that is quickly disintegrating before our eyes?
You know, my brother, when we look at the world that we're living in, it seems that the future is uncertain. It seems that there might not be a better tomorrow. But the beautiful thing about the God that we serve is that He has given us the most amazing prophecies that we find in the book of Daniel. And what do these prophecies show us? They show us that though the world is in turmoil, Jesus is coming again. It shows us that the nations of this world will come to an end. It shows us that God will set up His kingdom one day, and this kingdom will last forever. It shows us that Jesus will be appointed the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And when Jesus comes to this earth, and He comes to reign over an everlasting kingdom, we will rejoice. So, in the book of Daniel, or in any challenges that we face in the world, believers can respond by anchoring themselves in faith.
Yes.
Anchoring themselves in faith, maintaining that hope that God has given them through His word, the promise that He has given them of a brighter future. They can engage in prayer. They can seek understanding. And we can live out these principles of love and compassion that will help navigate us through the difficulties of life. Now, the overarching lesson for myself that I get from the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, and various scriptures in the Bible, is that my trust needs to be centered on God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, despite these uncertainties that we might face in life, despite the struggles that we might go through, we need to just place our trust in God's hands and trust in the divine plan, because ultimately prophecy is God showing you what will happen in the future. And He is saying, I am Alpha and Omega, knowing the end from the beginning. And what I am telling you is that your future is in my hands. Trust in me, trust in my plan, and get comfort and stability from that plan. Don't be shaken by the winds of this world. Trust, this trust, my brother, it needs to encourage us as believers to rely on God's word.
Yes,
it needs
yes.
to encourage us as believers to rely on God's guidance, to rely on God's providence, to have that resilient faith that will transcend whatever worldly uncertainties that you are facing.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Now, my elder, what is a big lesson that we get, not only from the story of Nebuchadnezzar's dream, but also from several scriptures, in God's word, really?
The lesson that I learn is that God is always in control. He has written our names on the palms of his hand.
Mm.
And the lesson that we get is that we can be certain, despite whatever situation you find yourself in,
yeah,
that we are part of God's plan. And by faith, as the thief on the cross did, as he hung between heaven and earth next to Jesus, he couldn't get any closer to Jesus, but he knew that he was a sinner and he needed to be saved from the sins that he had committed. He looked over what was happening in the world and he looked to that savior of the world. And as he saw that blood running down from his face, his heart, you know, his heart was touched. So we need to be touched, my brother, when we study the Bible, when we read of these prophecies, when we read of the promises of that Jesus has given us, when we see what Jesus has done for us. That sinner on the cross, he confessed his sin and he cried out, "Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom." So we, this world is not in the hands of human beings as we've studied.
Yeah, yeah.
It is in the hands of God.
True.
And we can face the future with great confidence, my brother. Soon Jesus is coming. That rock, as we've studied, that is cut out without hands, it will smite the image. The kingdoms of the earth will crumble. And God will usher in his eternal kingdom. And you can have that confidence in God. You can trust in God. And you can rest securely in his hands. And the only thing that I can say is that he's calling you, my brother. He's calling our brothers and sisters today. He's inviting us to come to him today. He's appealing to our hearts right now.
Mm.
All we can do is accept that calling and not focus on the winds that are blowing.
Yeah. You know, interestingly that you are saying that God is the one who is, a God of this world, etc., etc. Now, the God of this world, somewhere in Scripture, we do find that, Satan rules this world. And you are saying that God is actually the God of this world. How does that reconcile?
You know, my brother, you cannot rule something that you do not own.
Yes.
You know, Satan puts it out there as if he is the ruler of this world. We know that God in the Bible, in Genesis, God created the heavens and the earth. And God gave dominion to Adam.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, because of sin and disobedience, Adam gave that dominion to Lucifer. But did God leave that dominion in Lucifer's hands? No.
Mm-hmm.
When Jesus came, he claimed that dominion. When Jesus died on the cross, when Jesus conquered sin, when Jesus conquered the devil, when he conquered death, he claimed that dominion of this earth as the ruler of this earth, as the one that holds the keys to death and Hades, as the one in Revelation, as it tells us, that is worthy to open the scroll, which is the title deed to this earth.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
Satan is no longer the ruler of this earth.
He has been defeated, right. Now, share with us, please, the story of Erasmus, you know, the 16th century scholar and the sea voyage that impacted his faith, please.
You know, Erasmus, he was a 16th century scholar, and there was an incident that happened on the sea during a voyage that he was on, as he was on a boat, he was on a journey.
Mm-hmm.
And this incident actually stayed with him for the rest of his life.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So as he was sailing this vessel, you know, they encountered a big storm. And this storm had violent waves. There was wind blowing and the waves were smashing against the ship and it began to break apart into pieces.
Mm.
And my brother, if you were there on that ship, you know, if I was there, a person would be panicking, a person would be worried.
Mm.
You know, the passengers were going crazy. They didn't know what to do. People were shouting for help. People were praying prayers they've never prayed before. People were singing hymns that they hadn't sang in a long time. People were pleading, loud prayers. And Erasmus, as he gazed upon the people that were on the boat, there was one passenger whose facial expression was not as the others, whose demeanor was different. And Erasmus, he wrote, he says, you know, this person was different in demeanor than all of us. And she was the one that remained the most composed. It was a young woman that was holding a baby. Mm. And she was nursing this baby. And she was the only one who didn't shout. She was the only one who didn't weep. She was the only one who didn't try to make a deal with heaven to be saved. She did nothing but pray quietly to herself while she was holding on to a baby. Now, we would think to say, you know, she should be worrying. But this shows us that she was just continuing her regular prayer life. She had been through many storms in her life. And because of her experience, she knew that God would always be there for her. So now as this ship began to sink, this young mother, she was placed onto a plank and she was given a stick to row. And as she started to row and row amongst those waves, she was holding a baby with one hand and she was attempting to row with the other. But few people thought that she would survive. But because of her faith, because of her composed ability in Jesus, this woman managed to reach the shore first. So the lesson, my brother, ultimately from this story,
yes, please,
is often interpreted as a reminder of the internal struggles that we go through on a day-to-day basis. The internal struggles that we go through individually, that we face in reconciling our beliefs compared to what is happening externally. It encourages us to reflect on our faith, on our pursuits, our desires in life. What path are we taking in life? And the hope that we find through this story is that we need to trust in God, and God can make a difference despite the winds and the waves that are blowing. And when this world seems to be disintegrating around us, we're not on our own. There's a great hand that is guiding us. There's a great hand that is holding us. And if you will come, my brothers and sisters, to Christ, and you surrender fully, He will give you a faith that will see you through every storm and will see you through every supernatural attack, and you will have this peace that Jesus promises in the last verse that I'm reading is John 14, verse 27. Jesus says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be worried. Neither let it be afraid. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest," my brother.
Beautiful. Well, my elder, a mouthful. It's a very, very beautiful lesson coming out of that story, the story of Erasmus, all the way from the 16th century. I do want to thank you so much, my elder, for coming through. Blessings to you. I do wish that the blessings of the Lord may follow you wherever you go. Thank you so much for coming through.
Amen. Blessings to you, my brother, and to all our listeners.
Thank you so much.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.